It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. I got stuff to say. We're hanging out with you till noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Look, if we're going to blame Kyle Shanahan for Brock Purdy's performance yesterday and say that it's all Kyle Shanahan's fault and it's because he tells Brock where to throw it, which is not, that is not true. Brock Purdy has to read the entire field. And all this other stuff, then you also have to credit him for how well Brock Purdy has played as the final pick in the draft since he got under center in week 12 of the 2022 season. He's been awesome. Mm-hmm. Flat out. He was an MVP candidate last year in his first full season as a starter. He had a really, really bad game yesterday. And if now all of a sudden it's Kyle Shanahan can't coach, I'm sorry, I can't get there. Kyle Shanahan got Jimmy freaking Garoppolo. He elevated Jimmy Garoppolo's play to allow him to get and the 49ers to get to the Super Bowl with Jimmy freaking Garoppolo, who couldn't hack it as a Raiders starter and is now a backup for the Rams. I personally don't believe it's on a coach to quote unquote develop a quarterback. I don't. That is not what this is.
No, I think for me, the coach, you said to one thing earlier, but I'm also going to add this to it. When you said earlier that as soon as Kyle Shanahan loses the locker room, that's the time he has to go,
yeah,
right?
That's when I'll
be out. So look, I've covered an NBA team that switches toilet paper like, you know, I don't know.
Switches coaches like toilet paper?
Switches coaches like toilet, yeah, like you switch toilet paper rolls. I'm sorry. They switch coaches like they go through coaches so fast. You know, again, this is my 15th season. Through my 12th season, I'd covered 9 different head coaches. So look, many of those head coaches lost the locker room. Some of them did not and did not deserve to be fired. Some of them just proved it, like at the end of the day, that their team wasn't going to win and they had to go. Right? So Kyle Shanahan has, none of that has happen at all. And so in my opinion, there does come a point where if he can get you to the big game, but he can't win it, you always have to look at that. But then you have to say, okay, but who else is out there that has one that can get me over the hump? And, and you know, like, I don't think Bill Belichick's walking through that door. I think he would love to, but I don't think the 49ers are calling for him to walk through that door and take over as a head coach.
They're definitely not.
Then the other thing is about like, whether he's calling the plays for him or whether, you know, the biggest thing for a coach is to put a player in a position to succeed.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
And so
players have to play.
Is there a point this season where, again, the numbers back up that maybe Brock Purdy isn't rolling out enough? But but you went back and looked and it was like 2 games.
It was just play action. Yeah. Fake handoffs.
So like there needs to be a point where, you know, realistically, Kyle Shanahan does a better job of putting Brock Purdy in positions where he can succeed. The other thing that Brock Purdy needs to do is take full ownership. So as opposed to throwing the ball into double coverage at the 5-yard line and turning the ball over in the red zone again, he has to either, if the play is bad, he needs to check down, he needs to audible, he needs to do whatever it is that gives himself the best like percentage to succeed. And there is a point where a coach has to put faith in a quarterback and allow him to grow and develop and be the guy who makes the split decision, looks at the line, knows exactly what it is that he's looking at, and has to say, okay, I need you to go here, you to go here. We need to change this thing up right now.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think Brock is there. I just think that there's this moment where he's teetering on, he hasn't quite become great.
Yes.
He's really good, but he hasn't quite become great, and he's struggling to find the way to get to greatness.
Yeah.
And it does not help that he doesn't have a superstar running back that catches 60 or 70 or 80 balls out of the backfield.
Yeah, but lots of quarterbacks don't.
No, no, I get you, but lots of teams, most teams that don't have that, they knew it coming in that they weren't going to have that.
Sure.
And they, like, a quarter of the 49ers playbook is gone because McCaffrey's not there.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, there's a huge percentage of their playbook that just isn't the same. And it's, I think, why we're seeing the red zone issues this year with this team. Yeah. I mean, there's only so many times, again, that you can run Mason up the middle and think that you're going to get the necessary yards. And yeah, at the 1 yard line, he's going to score that if you hand it to him. But overall, I think that there is like a lack of creativity in the end, in the last 10 yards, whatever it is. And a lot of that comes down to McCaffrey being gone. And a lot of it does come down to the fact that Shanahan is too conservative. And then the third thing is Brock Purdy just has to be better. Yes.
Okay, so that's, I agree with you on all the Kyle Shanahan critiques you just had.
Yeah.
Yes, right there with you. What I can't get behind, I asked the Chatty House, and shout out to the Chatty House, a lot of really good thoughts on this. But I said, what has Andy Reid done that has caused Patrick Mahomes to develop? And somebody said, let's him be himself. It's like, yes, exactly. Patrick Mahomes is unbelievably talented.
Yep.
He is leaps and bounds more talented physically than Brock Purdy. Like, that is just, that's what it is. Just from an arm strength perspective, from a way he sees the field perspective, all of that stuff. Brock Purdy, you want to talk development? He is throwing the ball downfield more than any quarterback in the league this year going into last week. Like, the offense had changed pretty dramatically to lean on Brock Purdy, and he was answering the call. Like, you want to talk about development? Brock Purdy was putting up career best numbers with throwing the ball down the field, doing more things than just managing the game. Like, you want to talk development? That's development, dude.
Oh no!
Was he bad? Was he awful yesterday? Yes. Josh Allen, who's been outstanding this year, shading Josh Allen. Josh Allen had a game where he went 9 for 31 earlier this year. Like, sometimes quarterbacks have bad games. This is not, this one bad game against arguably the best defense in the league, a top three defense in the league, and a great defensive coordinator, is not a referendum on Kyle Shanahan's ability to develop Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not, dog. He's been really, really good this year, Brock Purdy has, through injury issues, through not having Christian McCaffrey. And have the 49ers handled that perfectly? No. And if you want to critique Kyle Shanahan in that, I am with you. Like, let's do that. Let's talk fourth down decisions. Let's talk 2-point decisions. Let's talk red zone play calling. Let's talk play calling in general. I'm with you. Like, let's ride. But if you want to say that Brock Purdy's not developing, he is. Like, we're watching it happen this year. He was awful yesterday. But I don't think it's because he went, okay, I'm supposed to throw it to Chris Conley on this play and he's double covered. Okay, I'm going to let it rip because that's what Kyle wants. It's not. I promise you.
Yeah.
It's not that simple. It is not that simple. Brock Purdy is a different quarterback now, a better quarterback, I would wager, now than he was last year. And I think there are some things missing. I don't think he trusts Jordan Mason on checkdowns. There was a play early in the game that I wrote down in my notes where Purdy is in the pocket and Jordan Mason is crossing his face with a little bit of room to run. And instead of checking that ball down like he probably would have to Christian McCaffrey, Purdy takes off. And does not, and he got 2 yards instead of however many he would have gotten on the check down to Mason. I think he has missed some of those throws. But that, to me, I don't think that's a Kyle Shanahan thing. I don't, you said it at the top of the segment. Like, players play. Players have to execute. And it is not a matter. This is not Sean McVay with Jared Goff, where up until 15 seconds, he's telling him what to do, and here's what the defense is doing, and this and that. They're hustling to the line so they can have maximum time for the coach to look at the defense. This is not that. Brock is making a ton of plays out of structure this year. Out of structure! And it's not like he's getting benched for it. It's not like he's getting reprimanded for it.
Yeah.
He's like, so I don't, I get that he was god-awful yesterday, and I get that the vibes are really bad at the 49ers right now. I do. But if you want to use yesterday as a, oh, hey, see, all the other good work that Kyle Shanahan did with Brock Purdy, all of that is now erased. See, he can't develop quarterbacks. What?
Yeah.
I'm as overreactionary as anybody. You want to overreact to something, I'm down. I am there. I am not. Did Kyle Shanahan coach a bad game yesterday? Yeah, probably. Yeah, he did. In fact, I'm not even going to say probably. Remove that. He did.
Okay.
Is he good at fourth down decisions? Terrible. Has his red zone play calling been good this year? Abominable. But I'm not blaming him because Brock Purdy had a bad game against a really good defense and a really good defensive coordinator. I'm not. If you would like to, by all means, go for it. I'm not getting there, man. I'm not.
No, I'm with you. And I would point out, too, we joke around about the Gardner Minshew thing. Like, Brock Purdy is a much better quarterback than Gardner Minshew.
Not even close.
Like, the fact that they had similar stats this weekend, like, that we're being facetious. Like, this is still a really good team. It's a team that's lost its way,
mm-hmm.
that has incredible injuries. I mean, you just basically lost your two star receivers. And oh, by the way, your third wide receiver was already hurt, and you had to run a guy out there who got shot 7 weeks ago,
yeah.
6 weeks ago, and another guy that is a rookie that had. Yeah. There was one possession where you had Ricky Pearsall and Cowing catch their first NFL passes, and that's where you were in the game. And oh, by the way, you have the best running back in football who has not played in 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there are reasons. Like, these aren't excuses why the Niners aren't finding success. Their defense is not nearly as good as it was before.
No.
One of the reasons is because Dre Greenlaw isn't there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm not going to make excuses for what the safeties are doing. I'm not. And I'm not going to make excuses for the fact that you didn't load up on your defensive line in the proper way, and the middle of your defensive line is nowhere as good as they were before. Although, hey, they've been great against the run. They've been able to, mm-hmm. they just can't get to the quarterback like they should be, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So, but like, there are reasons that your team is struggling, or the 49ers mm-hmm. are struggling, and there are also, I'm not going to make excuses for them. Like, again, you have to be better. If you're Shanahan, you have to be better. If you're Brock Purdy, you cannot throw those lollipop balls, like, down the sideline. The Ronnie Bell interception was so bad. The decision at the 5 yard line and threw it into the end zone, so bad,
really bad.
And there's been a handful of them,
mm-hmm.
and so we keep pointing them out. But like, look, at the end of the day, this team does have some reasons why they are where they are.
Yeah.
So,
and I think you hit another critique I have of Kyle Shanahan is that ability to adapt in game.
Yeah.
We've seen several times throughout the years where Deebo Samuel leaves the game and the 49ers just have nothing. Like, he was a big part of the game plan, and now it's
he can't breathe in pregame warmups, yeah. all of a sudden.
I don't did you hear how Kyle Shanahan described the illness that Deebo Samuel had? Standby. Let me go find it. I wasn't prepared to do this. But they reported during the game that he came down with the illness during warmups.
Mm.
And here's what he said about Debo's illness. The question, did Debo get the sickness this morning? Like, did he just come in feeling, yeah, this morning? Can you describe what? Was he just vomiting? Answer, throat, stomach things, just real fatigued, struggled to breathe, couldn't catch his breath. And so he kept trying to fight through it, but once he was struggling with the breathing and everything, we had to shut him down. Yeah!
Yeah.
I have a guess at what that is.
I'm
not a doctor.
Pretty sure I know what that is, because I had it like a couple of weeks ago. just saying.
Yeah.
Like, out of nowhere, like, oh.
I just thought that was
I don't feel good at all. Like, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened.
Yeah.
No.
I know. I did a show. I went and got my hair cut. I got home, and I'm like,
felt horrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't feel good anymore.
I just thought when he was saying that, the presser was like, hey, There's a name for that.
Can you put a mask on him, please?
He's over there using the oxygen during the game. Like, hey, you got rid of that, right? We got rid of that mask?
Yeah, yeah, that one got thrown away, right? No one else used it afterwards.
I hope so.
Yeah.
He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. If you would like to call the program, hit us up on the Elk Grove Kia Talk line, 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. But no, and that's where, just to kind of go back to what we talked about at the top of the show with Kyle Shanahan, I would love to see him. And in fact, I really thought we did see points in the second half after Brandon Ayuk went down where they did some creative things in the run game.
Uh-huh.
And they did the fourth and one sneak with Brock Purdy where Kyle Juszczyk goes in motion and then they snap it and Juszczyk runs in behind him and pushes him. Thought that was great. The QB sneak where he scored. Thought that was great. There were a couple of things they did with motion that got Jordan Mason loose after he was really struggling. At one point, Kevin Burkhardt, the broadcaster for Fox, said the 49ers were getting hit in the backfield on 75% of their runs.
Mm.
Like, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to get it done.
No, but they did. They made adjustments.
Right. They figured out how to move the ball a little bit. And that's where, to me, this falls on Brock Purdy because the plays were there. The deep shot to Kittle should have been a touchdown. The deep shot to Jacob Cowing should have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
He didn't miss those throws. The interception in the end zone that came after the long completion to Cowing, that should have been thrown away. That's got to go out the back of the end zone, dog. Like, you're down 9. Field goal here works. You got to get the onside kick and stuff, but field goal works here.
Yeah.
It was not not super inspiring, man. Just a really tough game all around, but not to me. Not yet, anyway. I'm filing it away. People in the chatty house who disagree with me, like I said, I'm not with you yet, but you're over there. You guys in TC are over there hanging out. I respect it. Maybe I'll get over to that side. If they struggle again against Dallas the same way, let's have a real discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But this one game, I'm not going as far as Kyle Shanahan can't develop quarterbacks and Kyle Shanahan should be fired. There's a gray area. There's a gray area between he's the best coach and he should be fired. I'm existing in the gray area.
Yeah.
He is not the best coach.
I'm with you.
He should not be fired.
I'm with both of those sentiments.
Come wade around in this gray area with us. There's plenty of space. We're hanging out.
I'd also say, like, look, this next week, it's a true test, right? The Cowboys are not nearly as bad as they have been this season. They
coming
at
off
least,
a bye.
Yeah, they're coming off a bye. Like, this is a team that can beat you. They're 3-3.
Yeah.
They have a better record than you do.
There's, with the way the 49ers are playing right now,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's a team in the league that when the 49ers play them, I'm like, W. The Patriots, probably. Maybe the Panthers.
You mean when the 49ers are playing them? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
That I feel like great about it.
They're not
playing good football right now.
No, that's true. But I think that they would beat the Raiders. I think they would beat the New York Giants. I think that they would beat... just going through a list, they would beat the Tennessee Titans. They'd beat the Jags.
Are we certain they'd beat the Jags?
Well, maybe not. I think they would beat the Jets. They would beat the Browns. Like,
ooh.
Whoever the Browns are throwing out there at quarterback.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yikes, man.
That thing got ugly this weekend.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles. Here's a very layered thing here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care who it is. Cheering a player's injury stinks. Like, that sucks. If you want to be on the internet and be like, not pouring one out for Deshaun Watson, that's a bad guy. Okay. Like, I'm not. But actively cheering an injury doesn't sit right with me, regardless of who it is. But again, if that's your prerogative, go for it. What bothers me the most about this is Browns fans who were booing yesterday as he was being carted off the field were not booing him because of his off-field transgressions. I don't want to use the wrong word.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to the legal troubles that he's had involving women. Again, I don't want to misspeak, so I'm trying to be broad on purpose.
Well, I mean, Kyle, to make it easy, I don't think he's ever been convicted of an actual crime. Like, has he lost defamation suits? Has he lost civil suits? Yes. But I don't think he's like,
I don't, yeah, I don't believe.
So I don't know how we sure, like, but, frame him.
But by from the amount of account, like, not a great dude.
Yeah. Okay? I don't know.
So if you want to, if that's why you're, okay. But Browns fans were all about Deshaun Watson. You can go see people selling obscene t-shirts that supported Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Obscene signs at games supporting Deshaun Watson and putting down victims.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, it was, that's where this fan base was. And not every single person, but it was there.
There was enough of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're not booing because he's a bad guy. They're booing because he sucked at football.
Yes.
That's their problem. Their problem is that he got $230 million guaranteed dollars and then was ass. They're not that. So they're booing that. This isn't about, oh, he's a bad dude. Like, Deshaun Watson is not a victim here. I want to make that really clear. My issue is with Cleveland fan. Who's like, wait a minute. No, he stinks. Boo! Like, no, should have been there day one.
He should have been there.
Should have been there day one.
Should have been there day one. You should have been booing the acquisition. You should have been booing the contract he got. And, like, look, it might not be anything to people out there, but the 49ers they were so in. And then it was like, oh no.
Yes.
This is who you are? No. We're not in anymore.
Yes.
We're not in. We're good.
Yeah. And the Browns went, fully guaranteed 230. Let's do it.
We're in. You're like,
yes.
Oh, okay. That's a big guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Browns fall to the Bengals 21-14. That's Cleveland football talk for the day.
Oh, that's it. That's what I get. It was a weekend of injuries, Kyle. Like, yeah. I like watching the injuries, like, all week, like, you know, O'Connell.
The Jaden Daniels one is tough.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because that's ribs, right?
Yeah, I saw a report on it today that I had saved, but I did not see the full update.
I have not seen the full update either.
I'm going to go find that for us right now. But yeah, he was one of several.
Yeah, that was a tough injury. Like, I was just penciling him. Oh man, who else got hurt this weekend? There's a whole group of them, man. I even wrote them on the paper.
Yeah, you got Deshaun Watson. You got DK Metcalf had a knee thing.
Oh, that's right. He got carted off.
Yeah, Brandon Ayuk. You had Aiden O'Connell. Tyler Huntley, I think, had a shoulder.
Shoulder injury for Huntley. Man, they're just like on their last. Well, they had Tim Boyle out there. And then it looks like Tua's back next week. Something like that.
Sounds like it.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, if that's what he wants, good for him, man.
Yeah. I hate it. Yeah, the Ayuk injury, absolutely catastrophic for the 49ers. We don't have any confirmation yet, I don't believe, but Kyle Shanahan said last night that it was, that the team believes it's an ACL tear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and watching the replay, like, as soon as I saw the hit from the side, I text you, oh, no, he just tore his ACL.
Yeah, that looked bad.
Yeah, like, and you could see it.
It was such an odd, because it looked in fast motion like he just got, like, the wind knocked out of him.
It just looked like a really, really hard hit from the side.
Yeah, like, maybe he got into it, like, his shoulder into the chest.
Yeah,
The way he was laying there is, oh, okay, he just got the wind knocked out of him. And then they show the one replay, it's like, oh, no!
Yeah. It's absolutely brutal.
And when here, and again, hoping for the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kyle Shanahan's supposed to talk with reporters at 3:30 today, and he should at that point have confirmation on the MRI. But when he said the exact same thing after the Jimmy Garoppolo injury in week three of the 2018 season, that we haven't confirmed, but we're fearing it's an ACL. And maybe it won't be. Like, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed that it's something where he's out, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, and he'll be back, and he'll be good to go and all that. But also, on Brandon Ayuk specifically, if it is the ACL and his season is over, this is why players hold in or hold out.
Yeah.
This is why players make such a big deal out of that contract. Because if Brandon Ayuk had stepped on the field and played on his fifth-year option, now his earning potential in next offseason plummets dramatically.
Just crushed him. Yeah, and I'll also say this. The hit that happened had nothing to do with any time that he missed. Like, yeah, that just happens. That's that's the NFL.
It's a football.
And like, people should not get confused here. That has nothing to do with the time he missed.
Yeah.
Like, has he been a great receiver this year? No. He's had all kinds of issues. Even in that game, he dropped a ball that Brock Purdy dropped right over the top to him.
Best throw of the day.
Yeah. And no, he hasn't been great. But at the same time, like these things happen.
Trying to find deeper meaning in injuries is the worst thing. If a guy's headhunting and fine. But on a football play where receiver's running across, he makes the catch, safety comes down and hits him, knee buckles, it sucks. It is the worst part of sports.
Mm-hmm.
It happens, man.
There's
not more to it.
The Rashee Rice thing is crazy because they kept waiting and everyone's like, why are they not telling us what the injury is? And it ends up being not an ACL, it's a PCL.
Yeah.
He's still out 8 to 10 months, but it was a totally different injury that they didn't know. And then all of a sudden, he's done.
Yeah.
But it took an extra week to figure it out.
That's why you don't guess.
Yeah.
That's why you don't rush. All right. We'll have more. Speaking of injuries, there was a Kevin Herter question in the chatty house. We got Kings on Thursday.
Yeah.
We got NBA basketball tomorrow. Real life, regular season NBA basketball tomorrow. So we'll talk Kevin Herter and where he's at with his injury 3 days out from the Kings season opener. We'll get to that and we'll have the handoff with one of D'Lo or Casey, I forget which one, in today in about 20 minutes. All right, he's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James, I'm Kyle. No mad props today. Mad props will take place Wednesday because we did the 49ers game up against the two NBA games on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers, Timberwolves, Celtics, Knicks is our two NBA games.
Oh, yeah.
Quick update. We had Brock Purdy passing yards or Lakers Timberwolves total.
Yeah, that we're going to
212.
Get clubbed on that.
212 was Brock Purdy's passing yards. We had Patrick Mahomes pass attempts or Jason Tatum points. 27 pass attempts for Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. That's in range.
Jordan Mason rushing attempts or LeBron James field goal attempts. 14 rushing attempts for Jordan Mason. Niners Chiefs total or Celtics Knicks combined first quarter total. And again, we're trying to pick which number will be larger. 46 total points between the Niners and Chiefs.
Okay.
Right in the range. Right in the range, I think, for Celtics Knicks first quarter. Brandon Ayuk targets or Jaylen Brown 3-point attempts? Brandon Ayuk still had 6 targets.
Oof.
Despite only playing the first half.
Oh, yeah.
Could be really close there. And then Fred Warner tackles or Anthony Davis rebounds. 8 tackles for Fred Warner. Should have been 9 on the Patrick Mahomes 33-yard run. Do you know how annoying that was? Like, there's nothing worse as a sports fan than great player doing great play against your team because the announcer just gushes over it.
Yeah.
We've had NFL Network on. They're showing the play over and over again. And I don't know where I land on this because I saw some people complaining that Mahomes, like, okey-doke D. Winters by making it look like he was going to go out of bounds, but then not, and players are worried about the 15 yards. I get that a little bit. But at the same time, just wrap him up, man. Like, he didn't step out of bounds yet, and D. Winters just way overran him.
But we all know that the first thing they're going to do is throw a flag. Like, if you're going to crush him on the sidelines, next time, crush him.
Okay, so here's that. I mean, that's kind of what that's the prevailing it. Thought has been. Like, yeah. if you're going to make up the, if you're going to pick up 15 yards, at least make it worth it, right?
Yeah, chuck him.
But I don't know how the NFL would officiate that. Like, Kenny Pickett did the fake slide at Pitt, right?
Yeah.
And they eliminated the fake slide. You can't fake slide anymore. Because if you don't remember that play, that obscure play in college football history, Kenny Pickett's in the open field and he's running and there's a defender bearing down on him. And Kenny Pickett stutters as though he's going to slide and he starts to kind of put his foot out. And so the defender just stands up because he doesn't want to. And then Kenny Pickett stands up and keeps running.
Yeah.
And defender's like, hey, I can't touch him once he does.
Yeah, it's
and
garbage.
So you can't fake slide. I don't know how the NFL would officiate that, though. Because that's just a like, oh, stop, going to hit the brakes, fly right by. Shout out Maverick. But that's kind of what he's doing there. But also, it looks like he's stopping to step out of bounds.
But he does it all the time.
I know. So I don't know.
And
you can complain about it.
First guy to get up looking for it.
Yeah, you can complain about it all you want. But I there's not. What are you going to say that if a quarterback stops running, the play's dead? But then how do you go? Oh, did his feet stop moving? Was his forward progress stopped? You can't officiate that because he becomes a runner in that instance. Yep. And if running back does that, it's just a sick move.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I can't. Fred Warner's got to make the tackle to begin with.
No, I agree. But I'd also like, look, you're D. Winters. You're going to get that call. He's right. He's going to get that call.
Yeah. I know. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't know. If I thought there was if Mahomes fake slid, I would very easily get on air today and be like, yo, you can't do that. You can't fake slide. If you can't be touched after you slide, you can't fake slide. And if there was a solution, but I don't have a solution for that. Like, that's just...
And you know,
there's a little bit of a loophole and he's taking advantage.
Even if you tried to go in like and not just crush him and you didn't do the big push so he flies out of bounds and you just went in and just popped him, there's a good chance he's going to step out right before and you're still going to get there's no winning in that situation.
No.
And I don't know what the league is going to do about it. They're not going to do anything about it because they're going to protect Patrick Mahomes. Like,
well, they're going to protect every quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. There's just... Like you said, I guess you just run up and you hit him and you hope that either there's no flag or the 15 yards is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Tough. It's just annoying. Like, I get why Giants fans hate Shohei Ohtani. Like, of course.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. And he's on the team you hate the most. Jesus, excuse me. He's on the team you hate the most.
Uh-huh.
But he's going to be around. So Patrick Mahomes, I have to watch scamper down the sideline rest of my life. A pump fake. Wow, look at the way he uses a pump fake. Oh, boy. All right. Tom Brady credited him yesterday with seeing in 3D. That's what we're doing now? God, it's like he sees in 3D out there. Yep.
Especially in the red area,
Kyle. That's how it goes, Tom. So there's one eye is two-dimensional, but the two eyes together form an image that's three-dimensional. Yeah, we all do that. I had a Chiefs fan reply, because I pointed that out on the internet, and I had a Chiefs fan reply to me and say, actually, there's context. Seeing in 3D in the football sense means seeing the plane vertically and also horizontally. And that's what, it's like, bro, you just described seeing in 3D. That's 3D. That's what seeing in three dimensions is.
Yeah.
Oh, but in a football context, there's no football context. It's just 3D. Yeah, I see on this plane and this plane and this plane. It's depth. God, it's like he sees 3D out there. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
This is brilliant stuff. Also, hey, Tom Brady yesterday trying to navigate being a team owner and not criticizing other players.
Oh.
I did not. I actually thought not being like in production meetings and stuff might have actually helped him. Oh. Because he leaned a lot more on like his career. And I want to know what Tom Brady thinks of this situation. Like, Tom Brady, the GOAT, what would you do in this spot?
Mm-hmm.
What is the offense going through right now? They're on the sideline. They just threw an interception. What's the quarterback doing on the sideline right now? Like, that's what I want to know from Tom Brady. And I thought he did a really nice job of that yesterday. But on one of the Purdy interceptions, I think it was the Ronnie Bell one.
Yeah.
But he said this a couple times because he can't be like, that's a terrible throw. So he was like, that's a below average throw. Or that's a not okay, like listening to him dance around.
Not a very good throw.
Listening to him dance around criticizing another player or on a player on another team.
I know I heard that very specifically, and it was like such a Captain Obvious moment.
Yes.
And that's what they've made him into.
Yes.
And it was like, okay, man. So first of all, you're not Dan Marino with a gun, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it's funny because Tom Brady made a career out of making perfect throws at perfect moments, but
yes,
they were never like a laser. They were never the perfect, you know, like
later Russell, in his career, his arm strength got better as he went along.
It did. But like Russell Wilson in his prime threw like the greatest deep ball.
Yeah.
You know,
it still does.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you look at Dan Marino or the Jeff Georges of the world that just have these cannons,
mm-hmm,
or you watch the way that that Josh Allen rolls out and throws a laser. And
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes does all the crazy stuff, right? Well, that wasn't Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's like one of the best nuts, mm-hmm, and bolts passers of all time. Short, mid-range, you know, mm-hmm, nothing too deep. You know, like that's where he lived. And so I think it was really difficult, too, to criticize right there because, all right, man, like, yeah, you've won a bunch of Super Bowls. You're the greatest quarterback statistically ever. You won more Super Bowls than, mm-hmm, anyone else. But at the same time, you also don't have, like, the raw skills that some of these other guys have.
Yeah, but if you miss a throw, you miss a throw.
Oh, no, totally, totally. Yeah.
I also reject the idea, but Dan Orlovsky said this the other day on ESPN, that he can't criticize Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Oh, yeah, he can criticize away.
Like, yeah. Bro, that's your job.
Yeah, it's his job.
Literally your job.
Yeah. Don't run out of the end zone on this one,
if
Dan.
If you, Dan Orlovsky, believe that you can't criticize any player who's more accomplished than you or better than you, stop talking NFL.
Yeah. It's over. Your career's over.
You were a low tier backup.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's
it, literally your career highlight is, yeah, you running out of the back
that
of the
is,
end zone.
That is why you are a notable NFL player.
Yes. It's the only reason anyone knows your name at all, yeah, as an NFL player.
Well, I can't criticize Aaron Rodgers. Yes, you can.
Yes.
Literally your job, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Dan. You're on TV. Tell us what you think. But yeah, Tom Brady. That's a below average throw. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Really good stuff. Really good stuff there. I want to shift gears and talk some NBA briefly. I see the Chatty House requesting Kenny Caraway for the handoff. I have let Kenny know that his presence is being requested.
Oh.
So hopefully we'll get Kenny Caraway here for the handoff in a minute. But what's the deal? The Kings are the Kings are 3 days out from their season opener against the Timberwolves here at Golden 1 Center. Kevin Huerter update? Where are we at with Kevin Huerter 3 days out? Because Mike Brown, after practice on Friday, made it sound like he's not doing a ton.
It does, yeah. Okay, so we saw Trey Lyles on the court, and Mike looked over and goes, oh, well, that's new. He's over there playing against Jawad. He's like, and he made a joke about Jawad Williams. He said, yeah. He thinks he's still a player, yeah, over there, and Trey's over there doing his thing, right? He's like, but that's the first time I've seen that. So that was the one-on-one, right? I sure do think that he's got to the point where he should be at practice. Like, they have, they'll practice, well, technically they're not practicing today. They didn't, yesterday they had Fan Fest, and on Saturday they did not practice. They took a day off. Very strange to see this build up to the season where you have 3 days in a row where they're not, like, in full-fledged practice. But that's, you know, whatever. I don't care. They may even practice today and just not invite us, right, because they had Fan Fest yesterday. Yeah. Technically, they're not supposed to do that, but they could say it's a film study day, or sure, or they're just shooting today or whatever.
Sure.
The next couple of days, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Well, Tuesday and Wednesday, we're going to get these guys, and we'll know whether Kevin Herter may or may not play on Thursday. But it sure does feel like his return to play might be... Like,
it sounds like it feels like it's way further out than 3 days.
Yeah, he looks physically fit to play, but it kind of feels like it might not be the first week of the season or something. But but I don't know. Like, we'll get to the bottom of it the best we can in the coming days. But I also would not be totally shocked to see Kevin Herter, like, roll in the mid first quarter and check into the game on Thursday night. So I just think it's interesting.
He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. It is time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway of D'Lo and KC is in the building. Kenny, your presence was requested by the Chatty House. Let's get you. Okay. Let's get you. Into
I mean,
the,
it's not like I don't have a radio
the,
show, but it's
video.
Okay.
No, I know you're about to talk for 4 hours.
Yeah, this is great.
We got to hear from Kenny now.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. Yeah.
So I'll let Chatty House. What questions do you have for Kenny? Because
I mean, I'm assuming they want to talk football.
Yeah, like that Steelers Jets game was crazy.
I got a story about that. We'll get into that at some point. Shout out Prize Pick. Use the keyword.
What?
That's KIFM. You know what I mean? Go check that out, man. Yeah.
Kyle. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm just saying, man. Look.
Niners look bad yesterday, man. Here's the crux of kind of the discussion we've been having today. You'll be shocked to find out TC called in. And
don't call us no more.
On the
more.
Elk Grove Kid Talk Line, 916-909-1320.
TC, don't call us no more, man. He mad because I don't feed into his Kyle Shanahan propaganda.
He's over there. A bunch of the Chatty House are over there. They are saying now, based on yesterday's game, that Kyle Shanahan cannot develop quarterbacks.
That's laughable, as you can see.
Okay.
That's laughable.
But they stunk yesterday.
They weren't good yesterday.
They were really
good yesterday. I'm not as tough on them as maybe you were. I was listening earlier. I don't think they stunk yesterday. I thought the defense
was fine.
I mean, that's part of the team though, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if the defense was cool, by virtue, they can't stink. You know what I mean?
They basically lost 28-12.
Huh?
They lost like 28-12.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, but like I said, I thought the defense was okay yesterday. I'm not saying they were great or they were dumb. They weren't the Chiefs' defense, but I thought they were okay. I thought they gave them a chance to win.
I thought that was C defensive effort.
Sounds
pretty average.
Right.
Pretty average.
I might give them a B minus. I thought they gave them a chance to win. They turned the ball over twice.
Yeah.
They from middle of the second quarter to middle of the third quarter, they got three and outs. They got the offense back on the field. They gave them an opportunity. Combine that with what they did in the first quarter when I thought they gave them a chance too. I thought the defense, maybe the bar was low for me, my expectations for this defense, but I thought they competed yesterday.
Yeah, I thought so too, for sure. Offensively, though, worst game of Brock's career for me. Not even close.
It was.
Way worse than the Christmas game against the Ravens.
Yeah, he had a bad, bad day.
Yeah.
Bad, bad day by Brock Purdy, man. And that's really, to me, that's really the X factor. I don't know if they would have won or not. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, the three turnovers, you know, that was the X factor for me, especially two of those turnovers. Actually, all three of those turnovers being in Chiefs territory.
Yes.
You're taking points off the board in a game where you're going up against what I think is the best defense in football. Every opportunity you have to put points on the board, you have to take advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And all three turnovers in their territory. The first one, maybe if they get a first down or run for 8 yards, you know, maybe it's a long field goal or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two were right there. At the very least, you're in field goal range.
Yeah.
And to take points off the board all three times, it just can't happen.
That's kind of where I buy into this idea. And we talked about this a little bit on Friday, James. but this idea that the Kings, or not the Kings, the Chiefs have this like ownership over the Niners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where you see it manifest in Brock trying to do too much from the five on a third and one, where it's like, dude, throw that out the back of the end zone, take your field goal, be down six, try and get an extra point.
Mm-hmm.
His first interception after getting the turnover on downs,
mm-hmm.
like there's no window there. That's just trying to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think happened yesterday, is the Chiefs are just are in the Niners' heads to this point that, man, they're second guessing this, or they're trying to make too big of a play here. And now they're the Chiefs get them off their game by stepping on the field. And that to me is where like the ownership factor comes in.
Maybe so. But this is one of the things that I talked about last week, like when people were talking about, you know, it's a big game. I was against that notion on Monday. This was not a big game.
Mm-hmm.
This game wasn't going to do anything that you needed it to do. It wasn't going to win you a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't going to make you not have problems against the Chiefs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we talked about when you came in. You could beat the Chiefs yesterday and then lose the next five. What does that do? You know what I mean? So it wasn't what I thought it was built up to be. I still think they look at that situation as they could beat them. The other thing that I looked at is this 49ers team, before the things that happened during the game, they weren't ready to beat the Chiefs yesterday. But when I say that, I'm talking personnel-wise.
Really?
They're not. Where they were at when going into that game, and before Debo went down, before Ayuk went down, you didn't have Juwan Jennings or Christian McCaffrey. You're not ready to go up against that team.
But that team's missing players too.
What they missing on defense?
Well, no, but on that's the offensive best defensive, side.
But that's the best defense. That's how you beat the 49ers, with defense.
Yeah.
You don't beat them with offense. You beat them with defense. I've been clear with that from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs have it.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs got it.
Sure.
The Ravens had it.
Mm.
That's how you beat them. And they didn't have no issues on the defensive. And they were, that's the best defense in football, and they didn't have no injuries there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you beat them. You want to get in a shootout with the Niners? Go right ahead. I'll take my chances with the Niners and Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy and all this other stuff. If you're going to let them run up and down the field,
mm-hmm.
I'll take my chances with the offense. That's not how you beat the 49ers. You beat them with the defense. The Chiefs have that formula.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk about not being ready, you need all your offensive pieces to go up against that defense, and they didn't have it coming into the game.
Hmm.
And I didn't.
That's interesting.
If you paid attention to me all week, I wasn't confident about that game because they're not ready. They're not in a place right now to beat that Chiefs team.
Yeah.
And then it just manifested with, like, you're already not in a place to beat that team, and then you turn the ball over three times.
Yeah.
And then you have no shot.
Yeah. Well, between the turnovers and the same thing we keep talking about, the ridiculously bad special teams play. Like, how every single week there is a ridiculously horrific special mm-hmm. teams play. They missed an extra point. Not only that, but the kick return.
The
punt return. Like, mm-hmm. what are you doing?
Chiefs make it 7-3. Niners, I believe, went 3-and-out. And then the Chiefs get a 55-yard punt return down to the 30.
Well, the other part
that can't happen.
But what preceded the punt, I mean, that was a huge sequence. I mean, Brandon Ayuk might have scored.
That
was the play. Like he drops that, and then you punt, and that happens. Whatever case, you're behind the eight ball. That was tough. I mean, special teams. There's the question I'll ask today, because a lot of people look at it as excuse or whatever. When do good players matter?
All of the time.
So if you don't have good players, are you still expected to perform the same way? Like if you don't, like yesterday, I know Brock was bad, and his interceptions I don't think had anything to do with the personnel around him. But you said earlier the 49ers look like the JV squad.
Mm-hmm.
That was the JV squad. Like that was the JV squad.
No,
they didn't go to the game with varsity.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just asked the question, does it matter? When do the good players matter? Like when do we expect Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers to, like, do we expect them to perform the same way with the JV squad?
Not the same way, but I expected Brock Purdy specifically, a player who's going to make $60-plus million, mm-hmm. to be better than he was. I thought he was abominable yesterday outside of the personnel.
He was bad. No, I agree.
That was before Brandon Ayuk went down.
I agree.
That's kind of the larger problem for
me. Yeah, I agree. And real quick, the kicker was also the third kicker.
He was
off the street. I saw him over on I saw him on Florham Road earlier last week.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I saw him on Florham Road. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
But so yeah, he's gonna miss a kick. A PAT is nothing.
But on their third kicker, because kickers got hurt having to cover kicks.
Yeah.
There were gonna be longer turns. You know, anyways, D'Lo and KC coming up next. I'm sure more Niners, yes. WNBA finals.
Yes.
That's some World Series stuff.
Yeah. Go Yanks.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Back tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water, be nice to people. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.